This is CliffCentral.com.
That was me hitting the button a lot. That was Mike Snow.
What just happened there, Ben?
I don't know. See, I was writing the blurb for the sport and then I got sidetracked. And
welcome back. This is your official welcome back.
Anyway, yeah, we're easing you into 2018. We're easing you into the early Jan here. So thanks for joining us and welcome to part two of the show. If you are new to the show, basically this part one where we talk about all the things that are happening in your world right now with some general friendly banter amongst the team. And then in part two, we delve deeper into stories with also much banter around team.
It's quite a great description you have there. Thank you, Ben. Yeah. And we aren't alone, just by the way, even though Gareth and Mabali are away.
Yeah, so Gareth and Mabali are not going to be with you this first week. So if you don't like Gareth or Mabali, well, what a win. What a win for you. If you like me, Ben, and Sia, Ben, also what a win.
Winning. You're winning at this thing called life.
But we've also got Sanazo here is with us for the week. She originally is from the Eastern Cape, but she knows what Joburg's all about. She has moved back to Pretoria, and she is very interesting so far. Hi, Celeste. Celeste's also here. She's outside.
So that's Celeste works with us here. People are like, yeah. Who's the Celeste person?
Well, we've mentioned her a few times. And Paleta is here, but she doesn't want to talk about her holiday. And she's already hard at work. She holds things together in the production booth. So even though two people aren't here, otherwise it's business as usual. Mm-hmm. It is Cliff Central 2018. And
Do you two feel the New Year spirit? Are you those people who believe like, oh, New Year, new me,
getting started? I am so one of those people. Every single year, I have a New Year, new me thing going. And this year, it's all about positivity.
Okay.
This year, it's all about, I've got a motto that I use. I made it up. Mm-hmm. It's called Nopi.
It's Nopi.
It's negative out, positive in.
I use that. You know, somewhere in Japan, that's probably like toilet paper, but.
Oh my gosh, really?
Sure, let's just go with that.
Let's go with it.
Yeah.
So I'm using that.
Just throw some negativity right at the head.
I'm not throwing negativity on
the head.
I swear, let me Google that. We'll find it.
That's lovely and easy to remember. So you never forget what you want to get out of it.
Exactly. So I've got a nice abbreviation. So I'm going to go get it tattooed on me.
There we go. Nopi is a restaurant.
That's so interesting. Well, of course it is, because it's a nice name. But you know, like the most general or common New Year's resolutions, okay, this is the top 10 of things that people gravitate towards.
Okay.
Eating better, exercising more, spending less money, self-care, as in like you need more sleep or that kind of stuff. Reading more books, learning a new skill, getting a new job, making new friends, getting a new hobby, and focusing more on your appearance. So those are your general go-tos for New Year's resolutions. Look, New Year's resolutions, people, you either do them, you don't do them. I don't know.
Do you?
No, I've never ever had like, okay, this year, my New Year's resolution. No.
Yeah.
Because I believe we can all be better. It's just that I am 36 years old. I've learned a few things. That's how I go about it from personal experience. But last year, remember Rich on the reality check?
Mm-hmm.
He said, screw these New Year's resolutions, these big, bold claims. Work on little two-week pockets.
Okay.
So you can then start your day and say, right, my resolution for today is this. And you start your day by making a little list. So it can be as trivial as you want. It can be, don't forget to feed the dog, or, you know, stop being such a dick to that guy, or whatever it is. Like, it's the small little things. And then when you take stock of them every week or every 2 weeks, you're actually achieving something. Because if you say, okay, 2018, I'm going to eat better. And then you're like, well, I'm going to holiday until like the 10th. So I'm still...
After that.
And it's like, well, you know, I'm back at first week of work. I'm quite stressed. I need to get everything in order. So I'm just going to like, you know, not take it too seriously just yet. I'm going to wait for things to die down a little bit. And then suddenly it's February.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, you know, I'm going away, or it's Valentine's Day, or... I'll get into it in March. And before you know it, because you've got this massive, huge thing, you're not taking any baby steps towards it.
Mm.
So
that's actually true.
There's actually something, like if you want to have some plug and play motivation around this, some great, interesting articles around New Year's resolutions. So like if you want to travel more and you're going to go, I need to save up for like 6 months in order to go on this flight somewhere. But if you travel more is to drive 2 hours to a strange place where there's lion cubs, that's the first
start. Like a certain Ben Kompensky did, yes.
That's the first start. So if you want to read more books, you don't go and buy like a, I don't know, like a Wilbur Smith 800 page or whatever, or Peace and Love or whatever, that War and Peace.
Don't look this way. I'm not a Wilbur Smith classy type.
Find books that, firstly, you know you can read, you know you can understand, you know you can enjoy. Mm-hmm. So all these little things, because we all want to do great, bold things, but we're not all great, bold people.
True.
Great, bold things, that's in the movies. Movies aren't reality.
Sometimes
do
it's
small,
a lesson.
Do small good things, and you'll have infinite wealth of experience and better things.
I hear you.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, I'm not a big New Year's resolution person. I decided that I won't really set anything specific for this year, but I am very superstitious with how I start the year off. Okay. So I need a banging, amazing, incredible New Year's Eve. When the countdown goes and we see the new year, it must be absolutely fabulous. And that's my only thing. I just feel like the way you begin your year is the sort of year you'll have. And as weird as it is, sometimes when I did just go, ugh, it's just another year, let me just sit at home or just chill for New Year's Eve, I've had a very mediocre year. But when I go all out. Totally all out, it's fabulous. So
did you go totally all out? I didn't pick up the New Year's story in your original story.
So for the start of the show. Yeah, for the 31st, I was in Cape Town and I was with a bunch of my friends and we went out for dinner first. And it was raining on the 31st in Cape Town. I think there's something just glorious about that. And we were just bar hopping for a while, and then at around 11:30 we went back to my friend's place, who lives in Sea Point. So there's this, he has this gorgeous view of the promenade, and we had some bubbles, and right as the countdown started,
just the two of you?
No, there were, it was a group of us. No, and it's not a friend with a wink. It's just a friend full stuff.
Yeah, it's a fair question.
I don't know. Just asking, why do you need to ask just the two of us?
Because I just need you to kind of, I like to visualize stories.
Oh, you need context and everything.
This is me.
Okay, I'll see you. There's a group of us, and just as the countdown started, we played an amazing Beyonce song.
Oh, wow.
Popped our bubbles, and we saw the entire view of fireworks, which was gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. So I'm really happy with the way things turned out for New Year's Eve this year.
I just sleep almost every year.
No, you really? See, that's my thing.
I really don't. I don't know. I don't like going out.
See, don't fall for the hype. Don't fall for the hype.
But I feel like it should be a sentimental something or the other. Right. Even if you are at home to write a letter or write a list of things you want to achieve or get into a mindset of... Really, I'm a cornball, but the mere fact that this year started, it's a new year, it's a new month, and it started on a Monday, a new week, boom.
New moon.
Oh, don't even get me started. I feel like...
He gets so excited about this new year.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, you are so excited.
So
I just slept
through it.
No, at 11 o'clock, because I was going to stay until 12. My friend invited me over with other friends and family, like, and their family. They had like this big thing, so they have prayer and then they have like alcohol and all of that. Like, it's like you go from church to party mode, right? Because you start off the year with church. But I was gonna go, but at 11 o'clock I couldn't. I was like, yo, I was tired.
See, I don't know about this whole prayer thing. No, that's a lot to ask for.
It's, you pray and then you go to party mode. Like, you go to church sometimes and then you go after church, like about 15 minutes after 12, you go and party. But you start
See, as a heathen, I can appreciate that. As a pastor's son, you're giving her like the, what?
Oh, can I actually say though? Actually,
are you
was
a pastor's
child? It was the morning of the 31st. There was... I don't know what that means. So I'm just going to cross my arms and just look to the other side. The morning of the 31st, I actually don't discount or discredit or judge people for whatever they do. Yeah. So I was chatting to a friend of mine and they said that they're going to church. I was like, oh, sure. Maybe, you know, I just want to try all options to ensure that I have a great year. So I was like, let me tag along with you guys. So my friend goes to one of these massive, massive mega churches in Cape Town. And I'd never actually experienced anything like that. Okay. And, you know, like here on the show, and we've spoken about it, and we speak about like Joel Osteen and who not and how they make a business out of things. But I was surprised by what I experienced there. There were thousands of people. Mm-hmm. There was one, two, three levels of people at this mega church. And it was a mini concert. I was like, y'all, where do you get this money to put on this show? There were lighting rigs and there were screens and projectors and smoke machines. I was like, Jesus has evolved, evidently.
No, he has.
I know a Jesus from the Bible. I don't know the Jesus with the spotlights and the smoke machines and the colored lights.
You gotta pay attention to you. That's the way for a long
time. I just
thought,
yo, Jesus, I know I don't talk to you often, but maybe, hey, can you ensure that I have a great year? I actually enjoyed it. Mm. It was quite a show. So yeah, I hope some of this works. Whether it was the
listening
to Beyonce at midnight or going to church, I hope something worked. Yeah.
I mean, last year. I mean,
2 days ago.
Okay, there we
go. Get too technical. Okay. It was 2 days ago.
I'm trying to figure out if it's the year before or it's this. Or this
31st, I mean? 2 days ago. Yes.
Okay.
What did you do for New Year's Eve, Ben?
Well, I had a fantastic house party to go to. So last New Year, going into 2017, we went to a friend's house in Camps Bay. Mm-hmm. And there was this couple there we got along well with. They're a little bit older than us. And we became really good friends over 2017.
Mm-hmm.
So fittingly, we then spent this New Year's now at their house. And they had like, I don't know, there's probably about 8 to 10 of us. And we just had a very chilled, intimate sort of house party. Yeah. And it was so fun because there was no apprehension about where we're going to be, what we're going to do, how we're going to get there. It was like a 50-rand Uber to my friend's house.
Oh, cool.
Took her own booze, took her own stuff. It was just great.
See, I like those ones. Those ones, the ones that don't have a lot of people around you touching you. That's a great one. See, that's how I would end the year if I chose not to sleep.
I felt I had a good new year. I had a start of the year well, you know, home by like 3:30. And I felt good. Like, I felt mature about how I conducted myself.
So, yeah, did you hear that?
I didn't pass out.
Well, the older you get, you'll understand myself. This.
No, I it's not that I embarrassed myself.
I used to have the biggest New Year's Day loser complex is because I would just lose it.
Yes.
So I used to be a DJ in a previous life.
Okay.
DJ.
So I used to play a lot of New Year's. I used to party so much. And then, like, New Year's Day was just a mess.
Mm.
But in my more adult life, like, it's just great.
You've calmed down from all of that.
Do good things.
Yeah. Nah,
but you know what? You need to experience that though while you're still young. You need to be out there and blackout once or twice.
No, I don't advocate that. I don't think that's amazing.
Like,
it's freaky. Don't do it.
You know, I've actually tried to do it. I can't get drunk like normal people.
Who consciously tries to blackout?
I did it alone. I was in my house. I swear I did. Cause my friend was like, you don't get drunk. I really don't get drunk. Like, I don't get drunk to where I'm like.
Is that because you got a high tolerance or you just
don't
like
high
tolerance?
No. High tolerance. Oh. I love booze. if I was to say I don't like booze, I would be lying.
Yes,
and
girl.
It's not a good thing to do the first week of the year.
Uh-huh.
So I tried. So I bought a lot of booze. I was alone in my house. Bought a lot of booze. Bought some wine. I love wine. I love good wine. I bought like some spirits. I was like, okay. I called my friend. I'm like, okay. So I'm trying this out. I really did, guys.
Did you think this was normal?
You know, I do a lot of things that I don't know.
What is normal, Sia? What is normal?
Drinking alone?
alone, because I don't want to be out in public just in case I really did get there.
Hmm.
Drunk everything. I promise you, I had so many bottles and all I did was go vomit it and then I got sober again. I was so angry.
Yeah.
So you want to?
I wanted to
have
see
a moment where you have
drunk
bruises,
and I wanted to black out. I didn't. I've never, and I never wake up with hangovers. So I've got, I don't know. So I've decided, you know what?
But it's kind of interesting. Like this time of year, you actually do find out a lot about yourself and how you drink. Sia, in your case. Like you two are polar opposites. This is amazing. Like here.
Well, I also have to stand up for myself and say this isn't.
Because you couldn't in December.
Goodbye. I wasn't always this person, and I was always just, you know, very reserved. I would go out and just have a glass of wine or whatever the case is. But now it's just like, why not? That's what I asked myself. And that's why I think for the first I got back home at like 7 in the morning. Yeah. And I thought it was all fabulous and part of it. Yes, it was part of it. You wake up, and by the way, we went clubbing afterwards as well, and my friend's phone got stolen, so then we had to go to the police station.
Yep, there's Cape Town. Did you go to Long Street?
Oh, Long Street was part of it, actually.
We told you not to go there because you're going to get a phone stolen or stabbed.
Well, the phone actually wasn't stolen in Long Street, but it was part of it. We went hopping all over the place. We went to Long Street, Sea Point. We went to the waterfront. We went to Shimmy Beach Club, which was packed to the max station. And...
Somehow you just pop around everywhere. Oh, okay.
And I surprisingly wasn't stuck in a lot of traffic as you guys had predicted.
Well done, Sia. Well done.
But the person who I did bump into is flaming Alan Ford. By the
of course, he's everywhere. I think I saw when Gareth went out to Cape Town, because Gareth also had a big New Year shindig in the Cape.
And
as he arrived, he had lunch with flaming Alan Ford.
Flaming Alan Ford is just Cape Town and fabulous. But yeah.
He really is. Speaking of Cape Town, let's get into some actual stories. Thanks for joining us so early in the year. There is a message coming through. You guys just love making money. That's why you come back so early in the year. Some more overtime. Overtime. You didn't even get overtime. Nippy, where you are so mistaken. We are here for you.
Yeah. Like
listeners come first here. Overtime.
Priorities.
Joke. Cape Town. That's where I was going with this. Yes. So when Sia was talking about the water restrictions, level 5 or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the
level 6 now.
These water restrictions are becoming like iPhones. Everyone waits for the next edition. So what does this actually mean if you are in Cape Town this morning and you are waking up and you do have a conscious, unlike Sia, so you're not going to have a bath? So
it only happened
so
once.
So your 87 liters, I mean, that's what's going to be the max, okay? That's what's it. Let's just break that down. When you flush your toilet, now, you know, there's the whole saying of if it's brown, flush it down. If it's yellow, mellow. I mean, look, this isn't the most romantic of things to have in a household. So if you're just living with a girlfriend, just moved in, things are going great, but you've got to have, like, the flush consideration. Three toilet flushes take 27 liters. So if you've got 87 liters a day, 27 just done. Down the toilet. Literally down the toilet. There goes 27 liters of your water. So flush where necessary. Really, really necessary. If you wash your dishes once, just once, 9 liters goes. Done. Done. 9 liters. If you wash your hands...
How are you washing... Like a dishwasher.
Well,
9 liters is a lot. Yeah, how are you?
If you can get if you can get a very fancy dishwasher that doesn't use too much water, go for it. But again, it's all you got to make investments to this new way of life. Washing your hands and face just once is 3 liters of water. 3 liters, just done. A 2-minute shower is 20 liters. You know, we've always gone through that. How quick can you be in the shower? Mm-hmm. You know, you obviously get in, you rinse yourself, you lather yourself up, turn the taps off. Don't always have to have the water flowing. And that's how you can get an invigorating workout and a shower at the same time. So your 2-minute shower, 20 liters. If you're preparing cooked meals, you're looking to have 2 meals, say 1.2 liters of water, that's gone. And if you drink around 7 glasses of water a day, which you should do to stay hydrated and stay healthy and stay youthful, then that's 1.75 liters of water. So just like that, just those little basics there, that's 60 liters of water done. But that is how you got to live, Cape Town. You want to have those pictures on Instagram with the mountain.
Yeah.
You have now made this choice. This is what you got to live with.
I would never be able to live in Cape Town. I've just realized.
It's overrated. It's a lovely place. But
never.
Yeah.
Wow, see, the water problem.
So save water. Do what you can, because level 6 can quickly become level 7.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to figure out? Why? I know there's some technology that they've already started working on of turning seawater into...
Yeah, so it's desalination.
Yeah. So why aren't they accelerating that process?
Well, a couple of stories around that. Yeah. First one, and I can't completely confirm this, but it does make political sense to me, is that obviously the DA want to kind of take over more power of the country. Yeah. So they're being scrutinized for everything. So when this stuff started to look a bit dodgy and there was the calls to obviously desalinate, they were like, okay, cool. It's going to cost a shit ton of money though. So what happens if we do this and then it rains and then we've got these white elephants? ANC, opposition parties, they're all going to pick us to pieces about mismanagement of funds. So they were like, it's cool. It'll rain. We're going to hold out. It didn't rain. They held out. Oh. And now everyone's saying, well, why didn't you guys act sooner? Because you're right. The UAE, they get like 1% of their water from groundwater. 99% is coming from the ocean, being desalinated and thrown out, okay? So now, I think as soon as Feb, these things will come online.
Oh, okay.
But it's a very difficult kind of thing to work out because the desalinization process is very expensive, it's very costly, time consuming, and it's not like that water goes into dams. It needs to then be shipped or tankered away.
Oh, okay.
So it's not the ultimate solution, but it has to be part of the process.
It has to, like... Shame, man. They can't even take baths. See ya.
Well, I have a whole conspiracy theorist friend who's telling me, like, this whole thing is not real. They are lying to us. There is no drought. I'm like, girl, like, just...
Do you look at the dams? And when you see sand, like, and not water,
what is going on?
You can't drink sand.
Oh, no. Like, yeah. She believes there's proper remedies. They already have... They have the solution. They're just wanting to let us panic.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. But the thing is, a lot of people live their lives in complete and utter ignorance. And
on conspiracy theory
world. Or if you're on Twitter, you realize that God is punishing Cape Town for racism. That's also a big theory.
Hallelujah.
That's why there's no rain.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yeah, people live different lives. Is it the drought?
I have no idea.
If God is punishing Cape Town, Bloom must also be part of it.
Okay.
Bloom, I'm just saying.
Bloom gets his rain. No, exactly. Crackpot theories.
Joburg, yeah. We're still fine, so let's not stress too much. Ben, before we get into news, tell us...
That was me getting into news.
Oh, that was... Okay.
Yeah, that was... See, we're doing everything slow this year. We're just easing into everything.
I see your transitions as well. Okay, fine. We'll get into your Christmas story a little later then as well. New story, just to make you feel so great about yourself. So, the rich aren't just getting richer, folks. They are getting much, much richer. There is the Billionaires Index, which Bloomberg reported on Wednesday, that the world's 500 wealthiest people became almost $1 trillion richer in 2017. How do you feel about yourself now?
I am only ever happy for people getting richer unless they're stealing, and then I hate them. Because I, you know, go ahead. The world's what you make of it.
$1 trillion richer.
Can
and
I
that's
be part of that 500?
You know, just, I don't want to be a part of it because that means a lot of hard work. I just want to marry someone in there. So this is all largely booming stock markets.
Did any of those hookups over the holiday have any potential? For rich marriage.
I do not know why, but all recently I just have this older target market who have a thang for me, and I'm not going to object because I think great, and they're all internationals, you know, Cape Town with the internationals.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
So is that the Seapoint house you went to? An old international?
No, it was not, Ben, for the millionth time. That was a friend. But there was a German dude.
Germans are always the best.
I want a Gunnhistag. Oh. Gunnhistag for that. I'll schnitzel that. There were, and then two guys from the States. I was like, what is going on?
Nice.
Like,
you had nice life problems.
I'm like highest bidder. You can just throw a rock on this finger, get a green card. It'll be a fabulous life. I love that.
So as you can see, Sierra is the ultimate in discerning and,
I'm such a romantic. I believe in love. Oh, I'm married for love. That's exactly it. Oh, no. Those are just a holiday situation. So these billionaires, in comparison, that's over four times as much wealth as they gained last year. So Amazon co-founder, for example, Jeff Bezos, who's the world's richest person, he saw the biggest gain in wealth in 2017. He added $34.2 billion to his net worth, which now totals a cool and casual $100 billion. Mark Zuckerberg and Bernard Arnault, I have no idea who that is, the CEO of luxury goods company LVMH. Oh,
that's a lot of big brands.
Yeah, Louis Vuitton, blah, 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 all under that group. Also saw significant increases to their wealth in 2017. Mark, he ranked by Bloomberg as the fifth richest person on earth, added about $23 billion to his fortune. And Bernard, ranked sixth, saw a $24.5 billion boost. So, geez. As of Tuesday, the 500 billionaires on Bloomberg's wealthy index had a total net worth of $5.3 trillion, up from $4.4 trillion in 2016. And this year, well, last year's total is more than the gross domestic product of Japan or Germany or that of the UK and France combined.
Okay, combined, that's what yikes. Makes you realize how rich they are. That yikes, word combined.
Yikes, yikes. Let's just take that in for the new year. Let's sure. let's aim to be thousandaires at least.
That is that's sensational.
That is.
Yeah, yeah. According to Forbes, there are more billionaires walking the earth than ever before. The magazine said in March that there were a total of 2,043 billionaires in the world, which is an increase of more than 230 since 2016.
That sounds so basic. There's billionaires walking the earth.
I know.
They're not Neanderthals. They're flying in jets. They're driving in Bentleys. I want to
find where they are, because of these new billionaires, the greatest number come from China.
China
has 76 billionaires, and the US was second with 25 new billionaires there as well.
Oh, cool.
So that's where you need to go hunting if you're looking China for a billionaire.
It's quite a powerhouse, eh? It's growing so fast. But the weird thing about China is that America still thinks they're more powerful than China financially. Oh, yeah. Because China actually has a higher GDP than America. But America keeps on saying, because we America, China can't have it because they've got more humans. Like, I don't even understand how that even works.
Yeah, it's very different mindsets towards things. I mean, China have done things in a very kind of more basic way, building up things, people as the resources. America's still the dream. And it's also the old world kind of currencies involved there.
And I think it's crashing with Trump there. It's crashing hard.
Let's not get into that now.
It's too heavy.
It's just a more technical conversation, because the narrative around Trump is that obviously he's a disaster. He's this, this and that. Mm-hmm. But he's doing great things financially for great sectors of the country that hasn't happened prior to that. You can say what you want about his policies towards certain things, or the fact that he may just be a major dick. But some of the things he's implemented are creating economic growth and stimulation in the country. But let's get into other more important things, like the top 10 most downloaded, illegally downloaded shows from last year.
So I think I already have my guesses on what's on there.
The top spot for the sixth year running is Game of Thrones.
Not surprised. The most illegally downloaded
show. Because when you look at downloads, illegal downloads trump any kind of other download.
Yeah.
So it's like, if you want to be on the top list, it's going to be illegal. I'm sorry to break it to you, but they know this. I mean, the Game of Thrones guys, I think a few years ago when this story was doing the rounds, as far as they were consistently the most illegally downloaded, they were like, it's part of the game, I guess. People are watching it. It's still getting out there.
It's such a craze.
Look, there's obviously, I mean, I have a Netflix subscription because I believe in giving back to the industry. I'm not going to illegally download. I'm not going to do that kind of stuff. I want to be a part in great entertainment happening. So yes. Even if it is my 128 rand a month is my sacrifice, is me putting back into the system, then so be it. Because if everything was legally downloaded, there would be no shows.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Exactly.
That's why you won't answer Who Now's question about where to watch things illegally.
Look, I mean, I know where to watch things illegally. I just don't do it because of, that's just not the way I look at things.
Yes.
I mean, if the guy wants to DM me on Twitter, go for it. I can tell him exactly what he wants to know.
Oh, Game of Thrones, those DMs.
Game of Thrones, top of the list. I know I should probably have done this list backwards, but Game of Thrones, always. Whenever there's so much hype around this because it's so well constructed. Obviously, they've got all the geeks who read the books who feel really smug about knowing this before anyone else. Then there's all the TV people who don't read and they couldn't care what the geeks think. So you got all people coming together, and the way it's been hyped and the way it's been marketed, the show is fantastic. It really is good. I thought it was wishy-washy in the middle periods. It's come back strong. I thought the last series was fantastic.
I've never watched it.
Never watched Game of Thrones.
I have no idea what it's about.
Well, whole world. is out there for you. And you can legally download like billions of other people around the world. So this is all part of a whole BitTorrent tracker thing. So that's what all these things come through. So this list is legit. Second show, most downloaded show of 2017 is The Walking Dead.
The Walking Dead is still big.
You know, we try to rationalize this last year, thinking like, it's just the same old, same old. They've run out of storylines, they replace it with gratuitous violence. But that is the second most illegally downloaded show of 2017. The Flash is number three.
Anyone watch The Flash?
Anyone watch The Flash?
I know, I've heard of it.
I've heard of it.
Never watched it either.
Fourth most illegally downloaded show in 2017 was The Big Bang Theory. Also
explains why the cast get like $1 million plus per episode.
Well, it's a big show, but I mean, I thought that storyline ran thin a while ago. The fifth most illegally downloaded show of 2017 was Rick and Morty. I think we played a big role in that. we punted that show a lot, and I think people have trying to find different ways to get it, and there it is. Rick and Morty, the fifth most legally downloaded show. And I really do believe that the people who are the most discerning about TV shows are the people who do it illegally. So this is actually a top 10 best shows in the world list.
Okay.
Plus
okay.
being the legal list. Number six was Prison Break. Number seven was Sherlock. Number eight was Vikings. Number nine was Suits. And number 10 was Arrow. So if you are watching any of those shows illegally, you are one of the many people around the world. Quite
wow.
something.
Wow. Wow. Like, what is it? What was number seven? Prison Break.
Prison Break.
Prison Break,
Prison Break is number six. That's still up there. Okay, with the new season and the show came back ended. Again. Yeah, it ended ages ago, and then now they're back.
Okay.
I don't know what the plot is now, because I just...
Let me guess. The guy goes to prison, doesn't have any sex with inmates, which I tell you is not reality.
Ben.
That guy would have been torn to pieces.
Ben.
Whatever his name is. I've forgotten who he is now.
Wentworth Miller.
He is the cutest guy ever.
Wentworth Miller. Yeah, goes to prison and people leave him alone. Yeah. So first of all, this is a massive story of fiction. They lost me early on.
Well, it's the sixth most illegally downloaded show.
It was crap when it started. People have been nostalgic around that kind of stuff.
I'm surprised like a This Is Us isn't there. Maybe people just...
No, it's because housewives watch that, and housewives don't know how to legally download things. If you like crying, you watch This Is Us. If you like crying, you're not an illegal downloader.
I'll take that as a good thing, and I'll also put myself in that bracket. Of sure.
Are you a crier? Thing.
I'm not a crier, but I just enjoy it. I'm not a crier. I just enjoyed This Is Us. Okay. Yes. And I was waiting as well. I didn't illegally download it. The second season has premiered in the States. We're only getting it in SA in a few weeks or a few days, actually. So I'll wait for that to watch it
okay,
on TV.
Yeah.
Before Sia gets into any more great pearl of stories like that, how you start your year is how your year will be, is what Sia said earlier. So I got a message here saying, well, Sia, I got in mine with a possible broken ankle.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, wow.
I guess mine will be pain all the way then. That'll be this year. Sad
I hope
thing.
It was because of a great party or
well,
something.
Well, sad thing, it happened on the way to getting drunk on New Year's Eve.
On the way?
Yeah. That is a horrible story. Whoever
that,
that
is
I
story.
Wish you all the best. Happy
but I wish you committed to drinking nonetheless on your way to hospital.
This message from Vince is, Happy New Year, dudes and dudettes. Either Sia made himself a big doers on New Year's Eve or his drinks were roofied. I mean, they were all knocks and bruises. Very suspicious. He couldn't remember anything.
No, I made myself a big doers. But anyway, embarrassment and my shame levels are non-existent at this point, so I don't care.
Wow, okay, this is a long message. Okay, I'll try to read all of this. Ben,
okay.
You were very diplomatic after the lady in your studio, that's Sanazo, advised the listeners that China's GDP was bigger than the US's and that everything is crashing under Trump. Can't you avoid, as a show, people who get their worldview off Twitter? GDP China... Oh, there's a lot of numbers here.
Mm. What's the crux? Summarize there, Ben. You're almost there.
Sorry, I just don't know how to read this number. I'm going all Jacob Zuma all of a sudden.
GDP... No, stop.
Why am I struggling with this? One... I don't know. I mean, it's been written in a weird way.
How many zeros are there?
Okay, I don't know.
Okay.
Look, China's GDP way bigger than America's GDP. Crux of the matter here.
Mm-hmm.
No. Wait, what am I doing? Sorry. USA's GDP way bigger than China's GDP. Why am I battling with this? Like, we're talking 17 times bigger. So he goes on to say, could we please avoid prejudiced, ignorant voices on social media and not let them out in the real? Well, this is what we do in the show. We discuss a variety of things. This is how we learn. And then the next message is realish world. Okay. Sorry, it was anonymous, so I can't get into it. Why am I battling with numbers? That's a bad sign.
Well, speaking of these voices on social media, like, I actually felt so annoyed on Friday. Did you guys hear of Dumi Morake's car accident?
Yeah, has there been any update about that?
Yeah. To my knowledge...
it was in Polokwane or somewhere, wasn't it?
She and her family were on their way to Sun City. So she's traveling with her husband and her three children as well.
Oh,
and
shit.
They were in her sponsored car.
Sorry,
when,
it was just outside of Rustenburg, I guess it was.
Yeah. And she was involved in a head-on collision that took place on the R... 556, and the occupants of both cars, thankfully, just only sustained minor injuries. Her Dumi's publicist just confirmed that the family and Dumi were all doing okay. They were just quite shaken. But I cannot, like, when I started to see some of the commentary of people saying, oh, this is karma for what she said back on her radio show. I was like,
disgraceful.
Where do y'all come from? What sort of sick, twisted people are you? Despite, really, if you feel like what she said was so horrible and absolutely bad, go ahead. And that is your belief. And that is what you honestly just hold dear to your heart. But you are really getting off on someone's misery.
Oh, wow.
Well, it's sick. And just going back to the message with the numbers I couldn't read, that listener makes a good point about the fact that this whole Twitter world and the cretins that live on that.
Yeah.
And see, to complete your point, if you get off on getting delight out of people's tragedy, I mean, this could have gone really badly. And the fact that there was kids involved, that's just disgraceful to even comment on that in such an unsavory way. But what else do we expect? During the holidays, people drink a lot. They feel very lonely and miserable, insecure and insignificant. I mean, how many times do we see these stupid Twitter outbursts that happen around holiday times?
No, but these, if people were just drunk, great, and they were slapping words online, that would be actually a better justification. But these people honestly believe that Dumi and her family deserve
this. They know
what
they say.
Yeah. They are aware of what they say. You know, one guy on Facebook, his name is Clinton, says, nice one, Dumi. Who are you going to blame this time?
Oh, wow.
Which white guy on a bicycle is going to get accused? What goes around certainly came around for you this time. Dude, that is seriously.
So it goes back to, if you have nothing nice to say, just don't say anything.
Spot on.
Just don't say anything.
Like, I just remember when the whole Dumi thing broke on Jacaranda. I mean, like, obviously, we know Tumi here because she used to work here. She used to have a show here in Bali. And, you know, like, getting to know her, even if it isn't more in passing around here, one of the nicest people you ever meet because she's funny as all hell. And in order to have that sort of humor, you're going to be smart and you're going to take the punches along the way. But the thing is, she's a balanced person. She's an interesting person. And she is happy to talk about stuff.
That's disgusting.
Not because she's ever offensive or whatever. It's because she's a human being who can think and has a brain. But she's also a person who cares and loves things the way any of us do. And to see this kind of tripe coming onto social media, it's the ignorance. And people are so quick to just say shit for no reason. I don't want to get into it over the festive season because I don't need to be depressed about stuff. It was harrowing enough to hear that she wasn't such a bad accident. And it's just nice to know that
she's okay.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's made me feel a bit better. So I was telling you at the start of the show that I've been researching about getting a new phone or what I should be getting. And I spent quite a few hours on the internet over the holidays researching things. Because obviously, as a content creator, I would need to make more visual content. Mm-hmm. If I can have a better phone to do that, that was all part of my plan. And then I found something very interesting about why Apple needs Samsung. So one of my favorite channels on YouTube is a guy called NerdWriter1.
Okay.
Fantastic way this guy goes about analyzing things. This guy's got a channel of, he's got a subscriber base of about 1.9 million. Super amount of research goes into the stuff. The production is incredible. And he breaks down movies. He breaks down song lyrics. Like, there was this video he made last year about why everybody dances to Bruno Mars' Uptown Funk. Scientifically proven to make you dance and be happy.
What?
This is how smart this guy is.
What's his name? NerdWriter?
NerdWriter1. Go onto YouTube, subscribe to the channel. The stuff comes out. Look, it's not, I don't think it's every week, but it's pretty frequent. And the stuff is just so incredibly interesting. So here is why Apple needs Samsung. Crap.
Needs Samsung. Let me put that another way. Apple needs someone to manufacture the OLED screens on its brand new flagship smartphone, the iPhone X. And Samsung, its biggest smartphone competitor, is the only company that can do it.
If you're wondering how Samsung's stock price could look like this in a year when the company had to replace, then fully recall, an exploding phone, in a year when its de facto chief executive was sentenced to 5 years in jail for bribery and embezzlement, this is how. Most people know Samsung as the company that sells them smartphones and TVs, even refrigerators. But the strongest part of its business is actually the components it builds for other companies, namely memory chips and displays, like the OLED display that's going into the iPhone. iPhone X. In these two key divisions, Samsung has the ability to supply products quickly to meet a gargantuan worldwide demand. The name of the game is market share. They, of course, supply their own devices with these components, but they want everyone else to turn to them too, and they're investing heavily, almost $19 billion on new plants in the next 4 years to grab a bigger slice of that pie. In July of this year, Samsung overtook Intel as the world's number one chip maker. And their dominance in OLED is even more extreme. As of the beginning of 2017, Samsung had over 90% of the OLED market share, basically a monopoly, which means when demand for OLED grows, like it has with the iPhone, Samsung grows too. Apple, you might guess, hates the situation because Samsung is the only OLED maker in the world who can handle the demand for new iPhones. Samsung gets to set the price. For reference, KGI Securities estimates that Samsung will charge Apple around $120 to $130 for each OLED screen, compared to old LCD screens, which only cost Apple about $45 to $55. And this may be a contributor to the hefty $1,000 price tag on the iPhone X. This sort of thing has to especially irk Tim Cook, Apple's CEO. Cook's expertise is in supply chain, the process of how products get made and distributed to customers. And when he joined Apple in 1998, he was instrumental in overhauling the supply chain and making it the most efficient in the world. One of the ways Apple does this is by outsourcing pretty much all of its production to suppliers, mostly in Asia, who compete for their business. But in the case of OLED screens, Apple has no other choice but to go with Samsung. Apple wanted 80 million OLED screens just for the second half of 2017. No one else can do that. Samsung barely has the capacity, which is one of the reasons why the iPhone X comes out 6 weeks later than the iPhone 8. In order to bring its OLED costs down, Apple needs for there to be a serious competitor in the space, which is why it's investing $2.7 billion in LG Display, basically a massive cash advance for them to build up their capacity. Google has the same idea. It's investing $880 million into LG to break the Samsung monopoly. For the near future, though, it doesn't quite matter. Samsung is likely to be the major beneficiary of Apple's OLED needs, at least through 2019, not to mention that they'll also be making a huge number of A-series chips for Apple, too. You know, it's one of the strangest relationships in business. Apple and Samsung have been feuding for years, ever since 2010 when Samsung essentially copied the iPhone with their Galaxy S smartphone. The two companies have been locked in a legal war for almost 7 years that has cost Samsung $150 million and maybe more. In the end, it seems silly, because Apple is still shelling out millions upon millions to its arch rival for parts, bolstering Samsung's huge profits and its growth. The iPhone X is sort of the perfect symbol for the whole messy relationship, and it captures how the tech business works at the very highest level. It's dysfunctional marriages like this. Apple needs Samsung, yeah, but Samsung is certainly profiting from the business. In other words, these two mega companies really need each other.
Wow.
Hey everybody, thank you so much for watching
this
episode.
Ain't that interesting,
hey? It is very interesting.
90% market share on the OLED screen. So when we look at all these new fancy phones and we go, oh wow, look at the screen, look at the images. It's all because Samsung has just been so smart about how they run these things. Because the screens are all getting bigger.
Mm.
They don't have the bevels. Bevels are these things at the bottom of the top. I learned that over the holidays.
Look at you being fancy.
Because iPhone has always had these kind of big bevels with the home button, but the iPhone X is now all screen.
Yeah.
But it's all screen because they're using Samsung screens.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Nerd writer one. Okay.
Yeah, so if you want to learn more about the world, that guy is incredibly smart. He makes amazing videos. He breaks things down. I mean, there's even a video about he breaks down Trump's tweeting, the psyche behind it, the messaging he's trying to convey, the nature he does it, why he even tweets in the first place. It's just so incredible how these guys put research stuff like that into it. So if you are a big Apple fan and you buy Apple because you don't want to be a Samsung person, well, it's being powered by Samsung and you're probably using a Samsung screen. Now, you are using a Samsung screen. 90% share market, and they have to go to LG now to try to break the monopoly. So Samsung are having a laugh here. They really are.
They are.
And like that price difference between an OLED and an LCD screen. So when people are saying, oh, well, why must I pay so much money for an iPhone X? It's because Samsung are basically squeezing Apple's balls.
Oh, wow.
That is the bottom line.
That's one way to put it.
That is the bottom line there. I watched a whole bunch of really great movies over the holiday as well.
Okay.
But we'll get into that tomorrow. I finally watched the Sex and the City movie. You know, to complete the loop.
The first one?
The first one.
Okay, that's with Jennifer Hudson and the girls. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Jennifer Hudson?
J- Jennifer Hudson, she is Sarah Jessica Parker's assistant in the movie, if I'm not mistaken.
Of course, yeah. I thought she looked familiar. Missed that.
Ben. Okay.
And then Black Mirror's back in the game on Netflix.
I saw tons of social media commentary about Black Mirror.
See, like, I don't want to talk about this without Gareth being here, but we've got so many different things that we'll just try kind of string along for this week, but I'll bring in the big stuff when he gets back.
Okay.
So Black Mirror's back. So now, did you watch Black Mirror? You haven't seen Game of Thrones? You haven't seen Black Mirror?
I'm not a TV person. I'm a news person.
Okay.
Oh, did you see what was on CNN last night? Oh my gosh. Okay.
All right.
Is that what you do for your pastime? You just channel hop between news channels? I ask genuinely.
I do.
Okay. Do you have favorite anchors?
I do. Anderson Cooper is my favorite he is on yummy. CNN. And then,
sorry. Oh, that's not how has great journalistic credibilities.
So, Black Mirror came back while you two gush over people who read screens.
He's a silver fox. What can you say?
See, you're destined to find some old freaky white man, aren't you?
He is.
And you...
You missed a very important...
You confided in me that
that
was not your thing. And you said...
When did
I? You said, you know what? All these white guys are all the same. They're such freaks.
I didn't say all white guys. I just said my experience of these older white guys are like... They put the freakiness in the freaky... Ometer, but like I'm here for that party if you have a green card. Let's just be honest. Anyway.
you're like a perverted onion. We just keep seeing these different layers coming out of you.
I'm very classy.
Another suggestion on YouTube is Unbox Therapy. Yeah, there's so many great, amazing tech people on YouTube because YouTube gives them like all they need. Like they don't need TV. None of us actually really need TV. It's going to get to that stage.
Yeah.
Obviously, we need Netflix and stuff like that, and Snowden needs the news. But you can find news all over YouTube.
Mm.
That's true.
Sorry, TV shows, but I mean, your stuff gets pirated, as we already realized years ago, and with the top 10 today. So if you want to get great entertainment in 2018, actually, I totally recommend this. Like, I've learned so much from YouTube because you find whatever content you want, and it's all being delivered by people who have done so much research because it's so competitive. The production values are going up and up, and because phones are getting so much better, thanks to Samsung, production quality is much better.
Yeah.
That's true.
Anyway, the long story short about the whole thing, I'm probably going to wait for the Samsung S9. That was my verdict.
Oh, okay.
When is that coming out?
Probably this year.
February, so basically November here.
Oh.
Okay. I don't know. I just thought like I'm fine right now with my Apple OLED screen 6 thing.
With revels? Anyway, nivels?
With my bevels. I got big bevels and I cannot lie. So, yeah, is there anything else pressing on the news front?
We can look at different news stories as well.
On the news front, in the third hour, we're playing Gareth's amazing interview with Jeremy Maggs. Jeremy Maggs is someone who I've always really enjoyed on the news front, and he does a great show around media as well. So
Maggs on media.
You must love Mr. Maggs then, because he talks to your advertising, PR, and media background, plus his news.
And
not a silver fox this year.
He's not Anderson Cooper.
He's not.
Let's just put that out there.
But he's going to get gray soon.
Soon he is.
He's starting to get gray, but he's going to go all gray. But yeah, he's got a great show on ENCA.
I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, yeah. Carry on.
But that's what we look forward to the next hour.
Yes. Sticking to some local news, unfortunately, two men have been declared dead following a dramatic rescue mission on Table Mountain, which I did not hear of, which have left over 800 people stranded for hours. These two men, together with a woman, were climbing Arrow Final on the side of the mountain when they are believed to have fallen. The bodies of the men will be secured to the cliff, and Wilderness Search and Rescue will commence bringing those bodies down once all the visitors have been brought down. This is a spokesperson for Wilderness Search and Rescue, Johan Marais, who's spoken out. Shortly after 10:15 PM, Marais said the sole survivor, the woman, was being brought down by the cable car, Aina. She was joined by rescuers and the first group of members of the public who have been stuck on the mountain for over 5 hours as a cable car was used to access the climbers. Maria said once a woman is taken to the ground, the remaining visitors will be safely brought down the mountain. He estimates that all visitors will be brought down by 11:30 a.m. This was, by the way, something that was released yesterday. So in closing, they say, we thank the public for understanding the predicament and the reason why we had to call for the assistance of the cable car. What a bizarre and unfortunate story.
Yeah. I read it this morning as well. It's so hard, you know. It's sad, though.
Yeah, yep. It is, and they need lots of water, these hikers as well, when you go on these long hikes.
Ben, I'm pretty sure that's not why people died on the mountain, but...
No, I'm just saying that hiking is a lot more treacherous than people think. Like, no, seriously, people go on these hikes and they do these kind of things, but sometimes they don't have sufficient water. You get terribly dehydrated, you get disorientated, you lose your way, you think you're going back the way you came up. You haven't got sufficient footwear, whatever it is. So, no, it's something that all holiday makers should always consider. It's a big deal.
Yay. And then Star Wars fans. Star Wars The Last Jedi has cleared the $1 billion milestone in worldwide grosses in less than 3 weeks. Y'all are serious about this thing.
How does Star Wars keep on doing this? Like, I fail to understand how Star Wars, every single time it brings out...
How many Star Wars movies have you seen?
Not even one.
I mean, come on.
Snazza, you on Ben's track record this morning are just horrible.
Come on. If you don't...
No Game of Thrones.
If you don't want to give him a chance, then you can't not understand.
I don't know. Maybe... Because everyone just wears those masks and...
Does it freak you out?
It does.
Oh, is that...
Okay. Name me in your mind a great TV show or movie series.
Oh. I'm Tyler Perry. I don't know. You know what?
Judging you based on that decision.
Okay, or the Minions.
Okay.
Okay, Despicable Me.
Okay,
and
the Minions. So what have we got there? We've got characters that are infectious and we've got storylines. Star Wars has, up until now, this last movie I thought was okay. Until now, they probably had one of the greatest stories ever told.
Okay.
Because it got the imagination of people in an age where they were crying out for technology and the future. And that's what Star Wars did. So it brought people in with that. The characters that they've got there, there's the classic good and evil. Good and evil. So the characters of people that latch onto them, and they're intertwined beautifully in a story that goes intergalactic and gets people to dream about things. So that's why Star Wars became such a massive hit. And it was thrown out in a time before anybody did anything in space properly.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, that's why Star Wars still is fantastic.
2017, we've got technology, but people still love it.
But you've also got Disney's money that are incredible at marketing, incredible at hype, and incredible at amplifying a story.
I'm gonna take your analysis.
You're doing a great job hyping Star Wars up, but
I just told you the latest movie was okay. I think I think the storyline's got to the point now where the big characters are dying out, literally dying out. And I don't think the new characters...
Like in real life, like Carrie Fisher, or they're killing people off.
Carrie Fisher is, of course, no longer with us. Spoiler alert, Mark Hamill won't be in the next movie.
Oh, they've got a next one coming.
They have 40,000 still
every
coming.
Year.
Like,
every year, Christmas time,
you'll
see people
Samsung,
in those Samsung,
new Star Wars.
That's how things work. So, yeah, I mean, look, I'm not going to give away a storyline, but Luke Skywalker doesn't have a future. And he was the original guy in the beginning. So it's going to happen. You're going to have these lifespans of characters that are going to wear thin. So new generations are hopefully then going to take on other people. But I don't even know what this guy's name is. His name's Ben someone. He's like the new dark side. And then he has the hots for this Rey chick. But
is he the new Darth Vader?
Yeah, he's like something. I don't know. He's got the darkness.
You have two people in this room who have no idea what you're talking about. So I don't know.
But I don't even also because. And like I fell asleep through half an hour of it. I'm sure.
Really?
Well, look, these chairs we were in were amazing. So this is one of these.
Prestige.
So my girlfriend and I go every year to this thing because she really got into Star Wars and she really liked it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we make a thing of it every year. But then we're in these like really great chairs and they're full on recliners. And I fell asleep for like half an hour. Like it was a particularly boring part of the movie. When I woke up, things did get better.
Oh,
yeah, and I find them too long. Well, granted, I've only just watched one and
don't they have intervals?
I need a pee break. I need to stand up and stretch. I need something. But yeah, okay then, it will still be doing massively well.
Yeah, but they still
the world over. Yeah, yeah, Star Wars The Last Jedi itself pulled in $120.4 million globally on the New Year's Eve weekend, with $52.4 million at 4,232 domestic venues and $68 million internationally during the whole Friday to Sunday period. It is now the eighth highest grossing domestic movie of all time, with $517.1 million, which is only $15 million behind last year's Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, in the seventh spot. Now, on the worldwide charts, it's now 24th behind $1.04 billion, edging Despicable Me 3, your fave.
Hello.
And also, yeah, the Temple's international total currently at about like $502 million will see a significant jolt when it opens on 5 January in China, which is its final market. Yeah, so Star Wars has no signs of slowing down, evidently.
Yeah, I just, in my personal opinion, but then again, I'm probably not the market for it, but I don't think the current storyline, the current characters are really going to grab a new audience the way the original ones did. So that would be my, let's just say, cynical forecast for the future of this franchise.
Yeah.
Is I think it'll definitely blend because there are more movies of this genre, of this more kind. They'll never get the sort of same, look, all these figures you're talking about, because we've got greater buying power. You spoke about more billionaires at the start of the show. We've got more people with more disposable income, and there's more shopping malls in the world now. There's more cinemas, all that kind of stuff. But I don't think it's, I mean, that's just me. So look, we're going to wrap it up now because we've had a packed day. It's our first day back. Let's not take things too seriously just yet. We've got the Jerry Maggs coming interview. Coming up, but just a couple of quick stories before we lead. End of last year, going back to the phones, Apple was accused of slowing down their old phones, and obviously this is a ploy to then get the new phone because your old phone is crashing or it's freezing, whatever. Well, it's been confirmed that Samsung and LG also do that. So there's no good guys.
Y'all, we are just hamsters on a little just roundabout for them.
No, that story is incorrect here. They don't actually do it.
Really?
Their phones operate at the same optimum capacity for that model. So,
what does that mean?
It means that when you have an iPhone, whatever, certain things will slow down. My camera, when it opens up now, takes 5 seconds. So it's like, hey, take a picture of Meowsers. She's doing something cute. Okay, well, let me wait 5 seconds. Now she's out the door. Whereas LG and Samsung have shown that they do not actually slow their phones down.
Oh, nice.
Do you think this will be? But this will make a dent.
But do you see how we all believe that story?
No, Apple won't. It won't slow down Apple.
Yeah.
I don't.
No, look. The thing about Apple it's a cult, and people actually don't care about the go. But it's just been confirmed that the Android powerhouses actually don't do that. They still believe that your phone can and will work at its best possible capacity, while making better phones for you to gravitate towards. And finally, final little quirky story from New Year's is that there's actually a flight you can take from New Zealand where, so the plane originally took off from New Zealand in Auckland New Year's Eve, and it will land also at New Year's Eve, 11:55 p.m. New Year's Eve. You can take off from Auckland. Hey, Happy New Year. When you arrive in Hawaii, in Honolulu, it'll be 9:45 a.m. New Year's Eve. So let's just say you take a bit of a later flight. You can do New Year's in New Zealand, party, all that kind of stuff, then get to Hawaii and do it all again.
Have time.
But won't it just kill you?
You have two New Year's, two genuine New Year's.
Well, no thanks. So my liver can only take so much.
Going back to your theory about starting with a bang, you can start with two bangs.
Oh, that's a bang and a boom and a bang.
If you want a double great year, that's what you can have.
Sure.
That's it for the show today. I'm actually kind of tired. Haven't been doing this much.
This is good. Of anything
for the last sort of 10 days. So you can catch us back tomorrow. Snazzle will be back. My buddy and Gareth will be back next week. They are taking a bit of a longer extended period. And the three of us will be back tomorrow. But Gareth's guest today will be the replay of Jerry Maggs, which will come up after this delightful song that I'm going to play from George Ezra. Catch you tomorrow.
This is CliffCentral.com.